But God, I thank you for your Spirit. God, I thank you for that's the thing that draws people, Lord, even when we don't want to be drawn. Lord, that's the thing that pursues people even when we don't want to be pursued. God, we thank you for your Spirit that gives us power to do this life that you call the Christian walk, God. And I thank you for that, God. And so I pray tonight, God, that as we look into this passage, Lord, and we just evaluate where we're at, God, I pray, God, that you would be glorified. That you would be the one who gets the credit for any good that comes from tonight. God, and I pray if anything in my mouth, Lord, is something, if it comes out sounding like a redneck like it sometimes does, God, I pray you just use it, God. Please use these words tonight. So, God, we love you, and Lord, we're here to glorify you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be honored by what's done here tonight. Amen. And so, Christ in you, the hope of glory. As we are nearing Easter, and as many of us have returned from mission trips, everybody back from mission trips, right? Okay, man, we had a great time. So if y'all didn't know, some of us went to Edinburgh. We stayed here in Bryan, did some Bible camps. We went to Nicaragua. See, I did it. See, yeah. Went to Nicaragua, and then we went to... I wanted to do it twice. See? Then we also went to Haiti. And so we really expanded. And I tell you, I know personally that I was changed. Okay. And so my prayer is that God has already begun the process in revealing himself to you in a personal way. See, I hope that you just didn't do these things just for God and just because you thought that's something that needed to be done. I hope that these things changed you and allowed you to see God in a personal way. Because our desire as followers of Jesus should be to represent him well to a watching world. Amen? Amen. Y'all going to have to get going here in a minute. All right. Many people are looking for something to put their hope and trust in. Anybody out there looking for something to put their hope and trust in? Something that would help them make sense of all the craziness around us. Amen? Is there any craziness going on around you in your life right now? All right. Me too. Through our recent mission trips, many of us were a tangible expression of Christ's love to a watching world. See, we got to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Some of y'all built houses, and some of y'all gave food. Some of us gave food, and some of us did medical, you know. But then some of us just came along people and said, you know what? We're here for you. We know you're struggling, and we love you. And so we were the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, we showed the love of Christ. But in Romans 5:8, we read that God demonstrates his love for us in this. This is how much God loves us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I'm going to say that again until somebody gets that one. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen, huh? Because that is love to the nth degree. That is the Easter story. That's the beginning of the Easter story. That's the beginning because Christ died for us when we were sinners. I don't understand it, but I accept it. And see, and it's only through us accepting the blood from that death. The blood from that death is the only thing that will get us to heaven. And he did that for us when we were his enemy. Man, doesn't that just keep, man, that's crazy. And it's only through accepting his death, burial, and resurrection as our only way to get to heaven that we can ever have anything to offer anybody. Because, see, we have money, okay? We have money that we offer, and those are things. We're supposed to offer our money and our talent and our time. We have things to offer. But what I learned this week is that ministry is enormous. It's overwhelming. I mean, in Haiti, we saw that. The ministry is overwhelming. You get back to Bryan, the ministry is overwhelming. And with that, my money will run out. I look at Haiti. They're not going to go very far on what the money that I have in Haiti, okay? My money will run out. My talent will run out. And my time will run out. But what I have in me, Christ in me, will not run out. It's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. It's Christ in me that people need, okay? It's not my money, but it is my money. Do you understand me? It is my money at times, okay? And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's Christ in me. But there's overwhelming ministry. Amen? Christians as well as non-Christians need to hear this message of hope and freedom. See, because it's not just the non-Christians that are struggling in this world. Christians are struggling, and they have the Lord living in them. And I don't understand it, you know? Because we have joy, but we don't show joy. And we need each other to live holy lives. Amen? There's just no way that I can do it without you. There's just no way. There's just no way. And some of you have forgotten who you are in Christ. And you've allowed Satan to rob you of your joy and peace that comes from an intimate relationship with God. Some of you out there right now have allowed God to do that. Allowed Satan to do that in you. You've forgotten that you're holy.
You hear me? You've forgotten that you're holy. You've forgotten that you're set apart. You've forgotten that you've been set apart from this world to God so that He can accomplish His purpose for your life. Right. Let's read in Psalm 51, 10 through 13. They're going to put it up on the screen for me, I believe. I'll just start reading. All right. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And see, it's when we get that, and when God restores us, when we have a pure heart with God, it says in verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. See, until we have Christ living in us and we got victory and we see ourselves as holy, we don't have anything to offer anybody else. Okay? And so that's so important until we have that. So every believer needs to continually pursue holiness. And you say, man, why are we talking about this? Well, when we went to Haiti, we were on our way to Haiti and we were in Miami, and Butch said, you might have to preach in Haiti. And y'all know I took that very well, right? Those on the trip, no, I didn't take that very, very, very well, you know, because I'm sitting here thinking, well, wait a minute, these people, I don't know nothing about these people. They may not get my redneck jokes. They might not even know what a taxidermist is, you know. And so a lot of the things I use on you guys, I'm thinking, man, this, what's going on here? How in the world can I relate to people in Haiti? I mean, God clearly spoke to me as I was wondering what I was going to do, what I was going to preach on, you know. And God clearly, He brought me to this passage right here. So if you're here tonight and this passage on you, this came from Haiti, okay? Amen. All right? Because what God showed me is the people in the Bible are the same. The people in Haiti are the same as we are too. I mean, because here's the things I know. Sin is sin. It don't matter whether you're here or you're Haiti. Sin is sin. And sin's job is to destroy and drag us away from God. And He's trying to do it to the Haitians, and He's trying to do it to you, and He's trying to do it to me. But sin is sin. I don't care where you're at. Okay? And sin's enticing. And I remember, I tell you, I just want to do this visual for you for sin, because I heard this one time, and it has never left my heart. Eskimos, when they try to kill wolves, okay, what they do is they take a knife, they dip it in blood, and they stick it in the ice, and it sits in the ice, and it freezes up, okay? Well, the wolves come around, and they finally find that knife, and they begin to lick the blood off of that knife, and they begin to lick the blood, and, you know, of course, the numbing effect of the frozen stuff, blood, the taste of it is just amazing to them. They lick and lick and lick, and eventually what they end up doing is they lick through the frozen blood and get to the knife. And they cut their own tongue, and then just because of the taste of the blood and the blood and the natural instinct for them and the love for blood, they keep licking their own blood until they die. And that is what sin does to us, people. Amen. It tastes so good. It tastes so good. And many of us are sitting here dealing with sin and allowing, just killing ourselves, okay? But sin is sin. I don't care whether you're in Haiti or you're here, okay? And pain is pain, people. Pain is pain. I don't care. You ask a woman in labor, it don't matter what color she is, it hurts. You know? And we had people in Haiti that we have stories and some of the stuff of the horrendous things that happened. And man, we mourned with those who lost people, and we mourned with some of those, and we prayed with some of those. And you know, I get back, and we lost somebody this week, dear to our body. You know, he's not in our body, but he was in our body before. We lost a young man, and there was a father of three families. So I'm going to tell you what, the same loss that's in Haiti is here. That's right. Sin is sin, and pain is pain. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter where you're at. But God is God. Amen. Amen? God is God. He knows, He knew, and He sees us, and He deals with us. I can no more explain the death of this young man as I can explain the earthquake in Haiti. But all I can tell you is God knows. Amen. God knows, He knew, and He was there, and He is there with those people, and He is available to anybody who will reach out to Him. God is God. See, another side of God, God also deals with our sin, okay? God's still God. God cannot fellowship with us with our sin, and so God is God. And grace is grace. Amen. I don't care how much you've sinned. I don't care what you've done. Grace is grace. In Haiti, grace is grace. Here, grace is grace on the end of the world. If you confess your sin, God's got more grace than you got sin. Okay? So grace is grace. It's available to anyone who asks. And so I think about this. So we're going to be looking in Colossians 3, 1 through 7, the rules for holy living. So I'm thinking, you know, people in Haiti, Christians in Haiti need to live holy lives. Okay? Christians here need to live holy lives because God's word can be trusted on every side of the world. Okay? Because God is God. Sin is it's the same. People don't change. They're the same. You look in the Bible, them Israelites, they're as ignorant as we are. You know? Man, they rebelled against God just like we rebel against God. I mean, nothing changes. But the word of God doesn't change either. All right? The word of God is powerful. So tonight we're going to look in Colossians 3, 1 through 17, and that'll give us some of us, it's going to give us some ways to enhance for us, some of us, maybe even restore our relationship and fellowship with God. I mean, in my book, it says the rules of holy living. I don't like the rules. You know, do y'all like rules? I don't know if anybody really likes rules. I call this a call to holiness. See, because God's word, I don't want to look at God's word as a rule book. Because if I do that, then I just do things legalistically, okay? I look at a loving God that loves me, that knows everything about me, and still died for me. That is why I want to become more holy, because He is holy, okay? So it's a call to holiness. And not only a call to holiness, it's a call to a relationship. I'm not talking about learning these rules and say, okay, I'm going to work on these things in a religious act. I'm not talking about any kind of religion. I'm talking about a relationship with a holy God. And so, verse 1, we got a lot of verses. I'm going to go as quick as I can. Through salvation, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Everybody there? Okay. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We're going to stop there. And see, it's through salvation that God set us apart from the world to Him. Okay, so it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. See, next week we're gonna celebrate the resurrection, and Christ was raised victorious over sin and death. And as we become believers, we get that too. We get to raise over victorious over sin and death. And so He's talking to believers here. I mean, we're new creations, and our union with Christ gives us power. Okay, Christ didn't come live in you for just to sit around dormant. Okay? It's power. It's a powerful thing inside of us. And see, in Colossians, what was happening here, Paul was trying to encourage these believers to stand firm in what they believe. Because see, these believers were getting pressure to compromise what they believe from those around them. See, they were doing very well. Paul was commending them earlier in Colossians. But they were getting a lot of opportunities to compromise, to add things like Jesus isn't enough. They were hearing things like Jesus isn't enough. And so you need something and Jesus. And they're like, man, where is all this coming from? But you know what? We get it too, huh? Some of those people say, man, ain't y'all a little extreme? You can go to church if you want to, but you know, let's tone it down a little bit. See, I'm going to tell you what, the world is going to tell you to tone it down, but I'm going to tell you what, sin is aggressively seeking you and is aggressively seeking me, and I ain't toning it down. Okay? I got the power of the Holy Spirit in me, and I want to use it. Okay? To set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that heart, we know about our heart, right? It's what we seek and the things that we desire. So He's telling us here, desire things above. I'm going to tell you, don't cling to this world. Man, this world will chew you up and spit you out. Amen. And it has to many of us. And I just don't understand why in the world we cling to it so much. And so what He's telling these believers here is set your hearts on things above. Set your heart on heaven. Put your heart in heaven. And many of the Haitian believers, we talk to them, they're ready to go to heaven. They're ready to go to heaven because where their life on earth is not that great. But they know Jesus, so it is. Amen? Where Christ is seated in the right hand of God. See, that's a privilege and an authority, and we get to be up there with Him. Praise the Lord. And it says, verse 2 says, set your minds on things above. So you can have your heart set on, God Lord. You can have your heart set, be ready to go to heaven, but when you're still breathing, God's got you here. You're here for a reason, so you might as well learn how to set your mind on things above too, so it'll make it a little better for you while you're here, okay? Because if you set your mind, it's what you think about, okay? We got to give heavenly things a large place in our thought life. But that's not just thinking of all heavenly things and totally withdrawing from the world, because if you did that, you wouldn't be a witness, okay? You see these people, they get this experience with God, they get over here and they go all by themselves. Who are they impacting, okay?
Nobody.
So we have to be people, set our mind on things above. But we are to be a witness. And I was reading in one of my commentaries, it said, to set your mind on things above is to see that one's interests are consistently centered in Christ. Okay, your interests are centered in Christ. Your attitude is centered in Christ. Your ambitions are centered in Christ. And your whole outlook in life are centered in Christ, are molded by Christ's relationship to the believer, and the one's allegiance to Him takes precedence over all earthly things. See, what it all boils down to is God, He's not just your Savior, He's your Lord. See, everything you do is for Him, okay? But not on earthly things. Set your mind on the things of God, not on earthly things. And y'all know we can get into the materialistic stuff. It is material things, but don't set your mind on the material things because your value is not shown in what you wear. Your value is not shown in what you drive. Your value is not shown in where you live, okay? So do not set your mind on material things or idols. Don't even set your mind on your needs. Because sometimes when you get so caught up about on your needs, then you forget that there's a God in control that said He's already going to supply your needs. Okay? And so I look at the Haitian believers. I mean, I'm thinking, they have to get this. They have to get this where they set their minds on things above than on earthly things. Because you look at the earthly things that they have, they're like, there's nothing there. Okay? And so if my mind was on things I didn't have, then all I would be was be in despair. But when I set my mind on things above, that there's a better place and that there's a God living in me, when I set my mind on those things, it makes my life here better. Okay? And it's the Christ in me that's the hope of glory. And don't set your mind on your problems, because you got a God that takes care of those problems for you. Amen? And those Haitian Christians, they've got to think that way just to get by. And I'm going to read one of my favorite verses about setting our minds. Philippians 4:4-9. Many of y'all could probably quote it. I just want to read it to you. This is the way we can set our minds. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Amen, there's got to be an amen right there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Huh? Amen. Finally, brothers, this is what we think about. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. That's God's word. It's powerful. And just keep quoting that stuff back to yourself. Keep your mind on things above, not on earthly things. See, because for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ. So you're not your own. And some of y'all think that's a bad thing. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that I'm not my own because now I get to say, God, you take care of this mess. I'm yours. You said you're going to take care of me. You take care of this marriage. You take care of these finances. You take care of this. You take care of that. You get to give it to God. Anybody here can testify to how amazing it is when you just give stuff to God and to get it off your shoulder, a burden that you're not even meant to carry. You give it to God. And I'm here. I'm here to tell you, when you give it to God, you give it. Now, a lot of y'all give it like this. You know, y'all give it. Come on, wait a minute, God. You didn't do it quite the way I wanted to, okay? But your life is now hidden in Christ. And so when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. That's more than one amen right there. You will get to appear with Him in glory. That's positive. Man, we ought to be jumping up and down because of that. Streets of gold. Anybody? No more pain. Anybody? I'm telling you, man. Yeah. No more physical pain. No more pain. All right? You get up and those bones don't hurt like they did. That's how I get to run, man. It's awesome. No more pain. because we get to be with him in glory. So that's the positive side of this. And then, so we're getting in verse 5. We'll notice that there's some things that we need to be putting off. And it kind of takes a little negative tone from our perspective. But here's the thing about God. Surgery is negative too. Amen? But sometimes it's needed to make things better. Right, Micah?
That's right.
Amen. And so we're going to read verse 5. It says, "Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming." And see, I want to tell you something about holiness. Holiness is a choice. When you received Christ, you became holy, okay? You are holy in and of yourself because Christ made you holy. But what you do with your eyes and what you do with your mouth and what you do with your tongue, it's a choice, okay? This holiness is a choice. And so he's telling us to put to death, therefore, the things that belong to the earthly nature. And he's not saying not regulate the old earthly life, but digging out its roots and utterly destroying it. See, that's what we're talking about. There's some things that we got to dig down. We got to get the roots out. We take care. We nip them a little bit, you know. Sometimes we'll take care of some problems. We'll nip them. They'll look good. See, I have some trees on my fence line at my house. I mean, I nipped them down good. I thought they were done. This year, they're bigger than they were last year, man. It's more of a problem. If you don't get down to the root of the problem, if you don't dig that out, if you don't put it to death, it's coming back with vengeance. Okay, and that's the same thing. There's things in our life we got to put to death. We got to fight that sin. We got to dig deep and find the root of what's going on, and we got to get rid of it. Because that's the only way the new life in Christ is going to be able to live and have control. Okay, so look at some of the things, some of the lists. It says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. I mean, many of us would say, of course, we need to get rid of sexual immorality. Impurity and lust. It just seems like as we go down the list, they get a little bit more acceptable from our perspective, you know. Because some of y'all think it's just fine to look at a girl because it's God's creation. It's not. She's not your wife.
Amen.
And evil desires. These are not things. It's not okay for a Christian to add those kind of things into the holy life that God has for us. Okay, so we got to kill those kind of things. And greed. Greed is intense seeking after material things. Total disregard for the rights of others. See, when you're greedy, you'll do anything. And you think, well, I'm not that greedy, Alan. Really? I am. I've been greedy. God showed me in Haiti how greedy I am. Why did I get to be born in America? You know? Why did I get to have a nice house? Grace of God, I guess, you know? But God, show me, even in that, there's a responsibility to those kind of blessings. And if all I want, and one of the ways you can look at greed, I'm going to tell you what, debt is a form of greed. I really believe when we get into debt, you know, we're trying to buy things to impress people we don't like with money we don't have. You know, that's what debt is, okay? Many of y'all are living on 110% of your income. You couldn't help nobody if you wanted to. That's greed. You know, it is. It may not seem like it to you, but it is. It's greed. I mean, when a need comes up, man, many of y'all want to be able to give. I know you do. But don't let condemnation hit you. Just get right. Work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, okay? Which is idolatry. Anything that takes the place of God is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. See, as Americans, we are going to be held accountable for the things that God has given us. We're going to be held accountable for the family God has given us. We're going to be held accountable for a lot of things, okay? Verse 7 says, "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived." And I'm going to tell you, I used to be way more greedy than I am now. I didn't think I was greedy until I got to Haiti. You know, I thought I was fairly given. I knew it was a miracle of God every time I did, but because I used to be greedy and very, very stingy, okay? But God has done a work in me. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things as these. And see, and this is where they were talking in the children's chat. See, I used to be unclean, is what they're saying. You used to be unclean, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. That's just one list right there. And so this idea of ridding yourself is exactly what these guys were talking about. It's taking off dirty clothes, okay? You're clean now, so why do you want to keep wearing those dirty clothes? Amen. I mean, you're a new creation. Why do you want to keep anger in you? Man, you should want to throw that stuff off. I mean, when we were in Haiti, we had to wear our clothes twice. I took a shower one night, and I went and grabbed that shirt for the next day. I said, I can't do that. That sucker stunk, you know? So I just got the less dirty shirt, you know? but really, nobody really in their right mind wants to put on dirty clothes on a clean body, right? But we do that. We do that. We're God's holy, set-apart temple, and we go and we just prostitute ourselves for so many things in this world, okay? And look at the list. Look at the list. It should be as appalling as a dirty shirt for us to have anger inside of us, okay? When I look at that word anger, I'm looking at the inner stuff, the stuff that nobody really knows about, but you still ticked off. And we definitely ought to get rid of rage. That's still, because the Bible says a fool gives full vent to his anger. I mean, that's just total sin, okay? And so is anger on the inside, because it says if you have anger, it's just like murdering your brother, okay? Because it's all about your heart. And malice, that's that deep down anger. That's that bitterness. That's that stuff that you just ready to get somebody back. That's a character issue. And slander. And filthy language from your lips. And I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of Christians. I hear a lot of Christians saying some of the foulest stuff that you can just imagine. You know, it destroys your witness. And it reveals your heart. And so if you're one of those Christians that thinks it's okay to get with the boys and say a few cuss words every now and again, turn over to James 3, 9 through 11. I think they got it up there for me. Okay. I don't think so. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You got to get rid of that filthy language if you got it, okay? And for me, that was the first thing that went, because I knew that was wrong. Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with his practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. See, I think that's another area that Christians think is okay. Lying is not okay. Amen. I don't care if anybody's lied to you and told you that, they're lying. All right? Lying is not okay. Because what it does, I mean, white lies, you think they're no harm, but it's a big deal. Because a lion associates you with Satan. John 8:44 says Satan is the father of lies. But in contrast, we have the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of truth. Okay? So when you're a liar, you're putting yourself in Satan's camp. We have the Holy Spirit of us, which is the spirit of truth. Since you've taken off your old practice, see, we shouldn't miss the things. We shouldn't miss that sin. Some of us still are drawn to some of the same sin that we used to do. We really shouldn't miss that, okay? And you really need to ask God to work on you on that. You should be changing. And this word is for everybody, because here there is no Greek nor Jew. None of y'all can get off the hook here, all right? Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all, and it is in all. See, we're all equal. We're all equal. It don't matter what you've done. This word is for everybody, and we should. And differences should not be barriers to our fellowship. Amen. Amen. Verse 12. Therefore, now it's getting good again, folks. All right, y'all can get y'all. We've had the little time where God says, "All right, he's wearing us out a little bit." All right, But I want to tell you what, it's a loving God that does that because He knows this stuff that's in your life that needs to be gone. He knows it needs to be gone to restore the fellowship with Him. But let's look at our God. Therefore, this should be the motive behind dealing with our sin. As God's chosen people. I'm waiting for a bunch of amens. You know? You're God's chosen people. He chose you individually. God chose you. That should be enough reason for you to want to deal and work on this life of holiness because God chose you. Grace. You're holy. You're set apart. God calls us holy. I mean, and you think about the picture that they showed here was a picture of a groom. I mean, you take a groom, he gets his wife, and they set themselves apart with each other. They get married. It would be really, really silly for the groom to just go out and start hanging out with another woman, right? Because he was set apart. He was set apart. And that's the way we are for Christ. We are set apart as the bride of Christ. And for us to go and put ourselves in fellowship with something else, that is not good. And we're dearly loved. Amen? We're dearly loved. Dearly loved. That means we're forgiven. This should be a great motivation for us. So it says, so with that, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This idea of clothing ourselves is something that the verb suggests that it should be undertaken with a sense of urgency and desire. See, we're just like they talked about in the children's chat. We're not only just to take off the old dirty clothes. We're supposed to be putting on some good stuff. Compassion. That's that pity, tenderness expressed towards the suffering and miserable. And it's something that you can't turn off. See, for me, as I began to change, I've seen these things in me. I didn't used to care about people. But now that I have the love of Christ in me, I have compassion for people that I never had compassion for before. And I have kindness for people that, I actually want to be kind now. And there's a humility in me because God, He has a way of doing that, you know. He has a way of humbling you if you think you're proud. If you think you're something, just start ministering for God. He'll show you something. And gentleness, you know. And this humility and gentleness, this is something that's contrary to the world. This is not something that the world says it needs to be done. And patience. And everybody can say ouch, just like JJ said. If you can't say amen, say ouch, all right? Impatience. Impatience is that self-restraint. How good are you at that? Bearing burden without retaliation. See, we're told to practice patience. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get plenty of opportunity to do that. Amen. You're going to get plenty of opportunity to practice patience. It says, bear with each other and forgive, which is a part of patience, whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And the Lord forgave you much, right? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that's going to be hard. And we could preach a whole sermon on forgiveness, but we're not going to do that. But forgiveness is hard. But I'm going to tell you what, it's worth it. When you let that person go, whatever it is that you're holding in bitterness, when you get that out of you, it is worth it. The freedom that brings, it is worth it. Amen. And it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And there's a great picture. There's a great picture right here. This is like a girdle. It's like a girdle. We need to put our love girdle on, okay? You know? When we just can't hold that compassion in because we don't really want to, you know, we're doing that in our flesh, we need to girdle it on up in some love and still be compassionate. When we don't want to be kind, man, we need to just girdle it up with some love, you know? When the kindness just wants to fall away because of your flesh, you need to just, the love of Christ, I'll let you girdle that up and be kind no matter what, okay? Same thing with humility. When you want to be proud and you want to be in your flesh and you want to be all proud, you need to girdle that up with the love of Christ, okay? Because it says what it says. Love is what holds it all together. I ain't never had a girdle on, but I think that's the way that works, right? You just hold stuff together, right? And when you don't want to be patient, put on that love girdle, all right? Chad had a girdle on last night. Had to have, man. Them shorts you had last night, they look like a girdle, man. Oh. They had 80s night over there. He wasn't wearing no girdle, I promise. But he did have some of them nice shorts I used to wear. Man, I got to lighten y'all up because y'all getting too serious. But it's the truth, okay? If we don't do anything because of the, if all these things we're just doing because we have to do them, the love of Christ is what needs to be our motivator. It's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. Amen? It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And see, it says, you were called to peace. And God intended you to have peace. And peace is that inner heart peace. And it only comes from total faith in God that God is in control. And it can't be conjured up. Okay? And so I want to give you a little checklist right here. This peace, man, this peace that passes all understanding, if you don't have it, when you lose your peace, something's wrong. As a Christian, when you lose your peace, something is wrong. And so even this week, as I was preparing, I just didn't have a peace about certain things. So I knew, okay, God, if I don't have a peace about it, there's something wrong, and you need to speak to me. Okay? And so you back off and say, I just don't have peace. So God, something's wrong. God's trying to make you aware of something or whatever. If you don't have peace, something's wrong. And when you lose your peace, you turn to things of the world and your flesh. See, when you don't have peace about something, you think, well, I got a better plan than God because he ain't quite hooked me up with what I need, you know? So you turn to the world and your flesh. Many people turn to addictions in that time when they don't have peace, you know? The things that just make the most sense to you, you turn to. But one thing for sure, you can't escape yourself. And some of y'all can go through life and say you have peace, but I'm going to tell you what, just because you say you have peace and you can sleep like a baby, that don't mean that you're in God's will. Ask Jonah. Amen. Jonah was sleeping in the back of the boat, totally running from God. Okay? So just because you got a hard conscience and you ain't allowing God to see you, don't use that as an excuse to say that you're okay with God. Amen. See, because really the heart, some of them say, man, I got a good heart. No, you don't.
That's right.
Sometimes you might think you do, but I'm going to tell you, the heart is deceitful.
Amen.
Your own heart will lead you astray, okay? So just because you have peace about something, you're sleeping good, man, just believe me, that's not always a sign that you're in God's will.
That's right.
But when you find yourself in those times, the remedy, just like Jonah, was to surrender to God's will. See, when God puts something on you and you just don't have peace about, only way you get right, you know, sin, as much as it tries to kill us, the one thing I've learned about sin, the coolest thing about sin is that once you confess it, it's done. The only sin that's even a problem is an unconfessed sin. Now that's going to kill you. You let it sit there. You confess it, it's done. As far as the east is from the west, God remembers it no more. And some of y'all are still struggling with that. Some of y'all still hanging on to sin that y'all had before. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God says it's gone. Okay? You confess it, that's it. Get over it. Give it to God. And when you're not at peace, it affects the church body. I promise you. Your relationships within the body are bad. I mean, people quit showing up to church, the service. You know, you miss out on the message. You miss out on something that God has for you when you're not at peace. And you miss out on the fellowship when you're not at peace. But true peace, I'm going to tell you what, and when you are truly peaceful, it turns to praise. Amen?
Amen.
Thanksgiving, thankfulness. See, the same Paul, the one that said, and be thankful, he wrote this letter from prison. Okay? So Paul was writing all these things to these people while he was in prison. He did it from prison, and he says, be thankful. So Paul had peace, wouldn't you say? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So you can tell when somebody's in the word of God. If you look at this verse right here, they're going to be joyful. Man, when you've got a vibrant relationship with the Lord and the word of God speaks back to you and it's dwelling in you, you feel at home at something. And I'm going to tell you, I've been on both sides. There have been times where I read the Word of God because I know I have to, okay? And I hate to admit that to you guys, but I'm going to tell you what, the obedience that I get from that far outweighs if I just don't do it, okay? All right? Now, God wants me to come to Him with this indwelt, this feeling, and I have many times. But the Word of God, you got to get the Word of God in you somehow. You'll be joyful. You'll be thankful when you got the Word of God in you, and you'll be submissive. See, allow the Word to change you. And whatever you do, whether in word and deed, Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the one that's interceding for the Father for us. Okay? When we do good deeds, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the people are supposed to see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Right?
Amen.
You do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you got identification there with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you got authority that you don't have when you do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God through Him. All that we say and do should be associated with the name of Jesus Christ. By our words and our works, we should glorify His name. If we permit anything into our lives that cannot be associated with the name of Jesus, then we are sinning. We must do and say everything on the authority of His name for the honor of His name. Because people, we represent Him. When we walk out these doors, people are looking at us, okay? We represent Him. So why is all this important? Because there's a lost and dying world that needs what we have. Where you go, where I go, outside there's lost people that need what we have. But see, they need to see something different. They don't need to see them same church folks that's kept them out of church all these years, okay? You got to see people living this holy life. We don't need these hypocrites that are killing, these actors. You go out of here with a mask on. We don't need that. We don't need people going up here and then up at Harry's, you know? We don't need that stuff. You know, we don't need our college students out here playing in here, acting all holy and ending up at Harry's, you know? I know I'm probably going to get in trouble for that, but y'all just get on me all you want to. But I'm going to tell you what, because you are representing Living Hope Baptist Church, Brian.
Amen. Amen.
Although at times they may need our money, what they need is the Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. That's why we need to live set apart, distinctively different lives. Be ready in season and out of season to share the reason for our hope, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't for the gospel, none of y'all would be saved.
That's right.
And that gospel is the fact, and some of y'all may not be saved. Some of y'all in here today may not be saved. But all it takes is you admitting that you're a sinner. We've got those cards in front on the visitor's card. ABC, it's really, you just got to admit that you're a sinner. And you got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And you got to believe that. And you got to believe that the blood of Christ covers every sin that you have. Okay? But then you got to confess, and that confession is in repentance. You can't just accept those things in your mind and then just continue to live like you live.
Right.
It's got to be a repentance, an about face. And I'm going to tell you what, don't feel ashamed if all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Every one of us, before we got saved, had to admit we were on the wrong path.
That's right.
So if that's you tonight, all you have to do, man, you just got to ask Him to take over. You got to ask Him to forgive you of your sin and tell Him, admit that you've done everything wrong. That's hard for men. We must see ourselves as God sees us. And we must not allow others or our culture to make us compromise God's desire for our holy lives. Okay? I'm going to close with John 17:26. It's Jesus speaking. I have made you known to them. So He's talking about Himself. Jesus came and made God known to us. He came and walked. He showed us the love of a Father. He showed us a lot of things. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them. See, Jesus wants the love that the Father has for Him to be in us. That's His desire for us. And that I myself may be in them. Amazing, huh? That's a relationship worth fighting for, folks. A Savior that wants to live inside of us, set us apart, chose us, but wants us to be a great representative, you know. And He gives, and all these things, the power of the Holy Spirit is the only way that you're going to be able to do this. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank You for Your Word. God, Lord, how it encourages. Lord, how it cuts. God, and how it just supersedes every nation, every tribe, every tongue. God, Your Word is powerful. So I pray, God, as your Word went forth, Lord, that people will respond, God. And so I really sense that some people in here tonight, Lord, that just really, Lord, just need to bow before Your throne, God, and just ask You to help them. God, some may even need to get saved, God. And so I just pray, Lord, as we have this time of invitation, Lord, that we would not resist you, Lord, that we would get right with you, God. And so, Lord, this could be a great time of fellowship. A lot of us, Lord, we know you, and Lord, we are serving you. But, Lord, there's things in us. Search our heart, Lord, because we want to be those holy vessels, God.
Thank you.
And, Lord, thank you for the miracles and the work that you've already done in the lives of these people in this place. I praise you for that, Jesus. Amen. So what we have is a time of invitation, and you can just pray over there. But I tell you, if you want to come forward, if you want to get saved, come on. I highly recommend Jesus.
Amen.
I tried it the other way. Respond to God however you want.